glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Time once again to check in with one of my favorite millennials, my daughter, Rebecca. Welcome back, Rebecca, to Mark and Friends.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Thank you so much. I know you're a busy gal these days, so tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, so a life update that's really exciting is I got a new part-time job, which was a huge answer to prayer, working at a law firm as a little clerk from like 9 to 2, but that's an answer to prayer because it leaves the rest of my day to be able to plan for women's ministry that I'm doing at my church, starting a Bible study there, being a part of the Women's Planning Committee, being part of Young Adults ministry at my church, and then I've been hopping on some podcasts, which is super fun, with some women, the Self-Evident podcast, and they just talk about like fun politics and Jesus and things like that. So God has definitely been gracious in the areas of giving me a lot to do, a lot of ministry to do, and a lot of people to build into. Like, one of my favorite pastimes right now is just getting dinner with sweet friends and just talking with them and discussing what God's doing in our lives and how he can grow us. And it's just been like really fun.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun, although I do kind of need to take a nap after I think of how much you do in one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, even today, worked at the law firm from 9 to 2, and then I got in the car and I went to go do a book study with one of my good friends, Aubrey, and we did that book study in the park with some coffee, and then I had a conversation with a friend who was going to come over tonight to hang out, but I told him, I have a radio program I'm going to do with my mom tonight, and he said, okay, that's okay. So we rescheduled for tomorrow.
Well, thank you for fitting me into your busy schedule. Well, I was thinking about our topic today, and you know, the word disappointment just popped into my head. I'm thinking we've all suffered disappointments in our lives. And maybe for some, that disappointment is just lingering and kind of spoiling our today. And then I love taking words apart. So if we dissect disappointment, you get the word dis. And then you get the word appointment. Now, dis is, it's what the meaning here is, it means not, and it means opposite of.
Ooh.
So it's a prefix. It's something that goes along with a stem word. Dis means not and opposite of. What I'm getting from this is appointment. We make an appointment for something to happen or someone to do something, and then it doesn't happen. It gets dissed. Really, a disappointment is making an appointment and it not happening.
Wow, so simple.
Yeah, so jumping on that, think about appointments. That's really where the disappointment starts, is by making appointments in our life. What would be some of these appointments that we would be making and counting on?
I mean, just in my own life, I obviously have a lot of people in my life. Being so busy, a big disappointment or something that kind of hits me is when someone cancels on me. I think that's a big thing because I love the word appointment. I made an appointment with them. I could be doing literally 10 other things, but I chose to put aside that time. And then if they cancel on me, I feel dissed. So that kind of goes with disappointment, but I feel kind of like slighted because they chose something else over me. So that's an area, I think, of disappointment that I have felt even like recently, because when you're dealing with a lot of people, you definitely can get looked over or be canceled on. And it's how you react after that I think is really important.
Family, that can be a huge disappointment. We make an appointment with satisfaction in our family relationships. I made an appointment to have all my children, you know, be perfect and follow in my faith pattern. And then when that does not happen, you know, it's a knot. And so that is a huge disappointment. I know many of our listeners have experienced that. They did what they thought. They took them to church. They lived out their faith. They read their Bible. They had Bible opportunities for their children. They made an appointment for their child to come to know Christ. and now that child has not. Yeah. It's a disappointment.
And it's a very justified one, I would say, because all those things are good things. Like, and I think a lot of times when it comes to disappointment, we look at the things that we wanted and they were good things, right? And we can be disappointed in God sometimes when we're like, God, we know in scripture that you wanted this. And so why didn't you give this to me? Because you want it. Like, it's clear in scripture, like, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they were old, they will not depart from it. Like, this is like a desire of yours. So why isn't this happening? And I think the more I break it down, like in my own life and in scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm. And I think that verse sums up disappointment so well. And it gets to the heart of disappointment, which is hope. Where are we finding our hope? Are you finding your hope in that all of your training up that child in the way they should go, all that you did, all that your actions did are going to help your child? Is that where you're putting your hope? Or are you putting your hope in Christ and that he ultimately has all power and all authority, and he still has the power and authority to lead your child to him, even after they leave your home? Or are you putting your hope in your actions and what you're doing? And I just think the idea of hope deferred making the heart sick, I think your heart being sick is such a perfect way to sum up disappointment. Like, it is, you feel this sickness in your heart. You feel the pain and the pit in your stomach when the thing that you hoped for didn't come to fruition. Ultimately, I think it has to do with where your hope is. And Cornerstone is one of my like favorite songs. And one of the lines is, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. And how often do I help lead that at church and don't truly mean it? And I would honestly have to answer that very often. How often do I truly sit down and think, my only hope is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? It's not in the people that I hang out with. It's not in my own abilities. It's truly in Christ and Christ alone. I think that's a really actually hard thing. It should be hard for us to sing that, but it's such a hopeful thing to sing and just to bring to remembrance where we're supposed to be finding our hope. And I think that's very hard in today's day and age, specifically living in America, because I think we have this right that we don't. When you even think of like as Americans, you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And we hear that, right, growing up. Mm-hmm. You have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Something that's kind of cool that I learned from homeschooling is originally it was not the pursuit of happiness, but do you remember what it was?
Pursuit of property.
Pursuit of property, and that is where the United States went wrong. Mm. Taking it from land to happiness, because we are not called to pursue happiness. The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of self. And literally this morning, during our lunch break, me and my coworker at the law firm were just talking about the pursuit of happiness. And we were talking about the pursuit of self, and it never satisfies. Mm-mm. And when we think sometimes, if you truly take a moment and dissect why you are disappointed, oftentimes you are disappointed because you put your own self and your desires over what God desired, because what God, like, nothing will happen that God did not allow. And I think a lot of times we don't think that way. And we think in like, oh, but I wanted this. This was my desire. So I think that's 100% where a lot of the areas that we become disappointed is because we're seeking the pursuit of happiness. And I think it's also kind of interesting, just as an American, we think we're entitled to life. We think we're entitled to liberty. We think we're entitled to happiness, because that's in you know, the American Constitution, right? Life is given by God. It is a gift mm-hmm. of God that he knit us together in our mother's womb. We are not entitled to life. God made us because he wanted a relationship with us. He did not make us to pursue our own happiness. So I think that's something we need to remember when it comes to our rights. Right to liberty. It says in scripture that you are either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
If you are a slave to one or the other. I think a lot of times, no, I'm not a slave. I don't like the word slave. What are you talking about? A slave to Christ? Like, that God's against that. It says in scripture, you're either a slave to Satan if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your savior, or when you are saved by grace, you are a slave to Christ. You are now bound to him. And it is a joy the more that you live out that being bought with a price, and your faith in Christ. Like, it's a joy to be a slave to Christ. But this idea of liberty, you don't have liberty. You're a slave to one or the other. And you have that choice to choose which one you are a slave to. But liberty is actually not something in our characteristic as a Christian. And then last but not least, the pursuit of happiness. We are not called to happiness. And I love saying this idea of, like, we're not called to happiness, we're called to holiness.
Yeah.
And joy. We can have joy, but we're not called to happiness, because happiness is self-seeking, but holiness is God-seeking. So I think for me recently, I have a close friend who started distancing themselves, and I got really sad about that, but I started thinking and praying through it, and I was like, okay, what am I seeking here? Am I seeking holiness and in what God's doing in this relationship? Or am I seeking happiness? And the disappointment was not coming from a place of seeking holiness. It was coming from a place of seeking happiness and thinking that I deserved something from this person, which I don't. And we don't. We don't deserve things from people. So I think a lot of times when you're in this area of disappointment, and some of the disappointments are very valid, right? Having a child walk away from Christ, having a friend not want to be close and see Christ with you anymore, those are valid. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the disappointment, are you going to put your hope in God and what His plan is? Or are you going to keep your hope in self and what your desires are? Or are you going to have those desires being matched up with God's desires? Because what's amazing is God will never leave us or forsake us. And I think the only time that, quote unquote, God disappoints us is when He doesn't go our way.
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, oh, God will disappoint you. If your hope is in your own desires and self, He's not going to go that way.
No.
But if you truly are asking God, God, align my heart with your heart, right? Like, give me the desires of, you know, He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean He's going to give you the desires that you're conjuring up. If you are seeking Christ and you are being made to be transformed into what His heart is, He's going to give you the desires of His heart. That is His goal. That is His plan. Because His ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. So it's that idea that, God, I want to be a slave to you because my dreams and aspirations are nowhere close to the grandeur and beauty and just amazingness of His plans for me. So I want to be, I desire to be a slave to Christ and to not put my hope in others, not to put my hope in even myself, but to put my hope in Christ and nothing less.
So good, good. And I love that you said the whole idea of life. You know, in James, I've been meditating, and it says that we should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.
Amen.
So in the making of our plans, that's it. We just say, God, if you will, I'll be alive to do this or
Amen.
That.
Amen.
You know, now if I'm going to do this or that, I'm going to need to be alive. And God, if you want me to be alive, I will. And
Amen.
I'm going with you, you know, if the Lord wills. I am enjoying that so
Amen.
Much. I know people, before we made plans, they would say, well, if the Lord wills and the creek don't rise.
Oh, I love that.
We can let go of the creek don't rise. But I still say, I'm thinking in terms these days of if the Lord wills.
Yeah.
And I'm just back to that point of if the Lord wills. And don't you also feel, Rebecca, that disappointment is a gift? Because where does it lead us? It leads us to all those places you were talking about. It leads us to a place of not expecting things. I guess we're saying we're not expecting them to be our God.
Yep. Idolization. Because, you can't be disappointed in something that you don't have your focus, like, toward. If your hope is in Christ and you say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this. If it doesn't happen, it's not on you. It's not on the other person. It's on the Lord.
Yeah.
Because it would have happened if the Lord wanted it to happen.
No.
And there's definitely room for, we need to move. The Lord asks for motion, right? It's not like you're just sitting there
Mm-mm.
being like, well, if the Lord wants it, we'll make the plans. Like, no. Use your brain. Use your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit where He's leading. But at the end of the day, the hope portion, the what if it doesn't happen? If your hope is in the Lord, right, the disappointment, it won't be there. And if it is there, it's because you weren't truly hoping in the Lord and putting your full trust in what His plan was.
Yeah. Lately, you know, when I was drinking caffeinated coffee, I'd have to really hold myself back because after two or three cups, I thought I could conquer the world. So if you ever called me and asked me to do anything in the morning,
I could do it.
I would do it. I mean, I just would sign up for anything. I was planning all kind of crazy 4-H events and crafting extravaganzas. And finally, I've gone to decaf, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Even now, I'm taking that idea of, no, I'm not going to sign up for anything. Because I would sign up for all these things, and then when the time came to deliver, I wouldn't have the energy for it. I wouldn't have that enthusiasm. And caffeine had worn off. So now I'm just saying, no, Lord, I got ideas. It all sounds really fun, but if it's your will, because I don't have energy for it. So now I'm so much more at peace with just saying, you know, I could do that, but should I do that?
Amen. What is that? Is it a kid's song, but take it to the Lord in prayer? Like, isn't that a song?
I think
Do you know
it
that
is.
Song?
Yeah.
And it's just that idea. I think a lot of times when our hope, whenever we do things and plan things, we didn't take it to God. So it's like, oh, why didn't this work out, God? Like, da-da-da. He's like, did you ask me? And you're like, no.
Yeah.
He's like, And you're like, oh, huh. Right? And like, I am so there. I am your daughter through and through. And I'm recently having to learn this word that I didn't learn growing up. And it's no. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea of, and no is not never. Right?
Right.
But if someone says, hey, can you do this? Can you let me know right now? No. But I can let you know later. I have to go talk, you know, I got to go talk to God about it. And it's amazing what no does. And it's this idea of say no to one thing is saying yes to so many other possibilities.
Yeah.
And not feeling pressured to say the yes right away is incredible. And it's not even because you don't want to, but it's because you need to ask God about it first. Like, hey, I gotta go ask someone about this first. And is this what God wants me to do? It's what I can do. Often people ask you to do things that you can do.
Yeah.
Most of the things they're gonna ask you is because you can do it. But is it what God's calling you to do right now?
Right.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
And that's a hard place to be. And that's a place also to say, that's humility, right? To be like, okay, God, I can do this, but why would I do it? What are my motives? Are my motives because I want to have attention? Are they because I want to lead something? I want to have purpose. And I think a lot of times if you go to prayer, a lot of that stuff will be revealed to you.
Yeah. And it just saves me so much regret.
Amen.
In the end, it's like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be over here. And it's a lot simpler, and it's just a lot easier on my body and my mind and my soul.
Amen.
And by the way, no is a complete sentence. It's complete sentence. You don't have to add anything else to that. I mean, it's a noun, a verb, an adjective, and an adverb all wrapped into one with a preposition. So it's a complete sentence. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, Becca, this was just a delight to have you here and picking your brain and kind of helping me process this whole idea of disappointment.
Oh, same. Like when people ask me what's my number one struggle, honestly, it's disappointment. I do not, this is not coming from a place of like, I figured it out in any way, shape or form. Like I struggle with disappointment. I feel very deeply. And I think one thing when it comes to disappointment too, it's okay to feel the feels. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be disappointed. I think God does not promise us a life lacking in disappointment. Like Paul, he was so disappointed that he wrote so many letters to so many churches because he was disappointed in what he was seeing. And there's a time and a place. And I'm not saying that we can never feel disappointment and that we should set ourselves up to never feel that, but it's what we're doing with it and analyzing it. Really analyze that disappointment and who are you giving it to and what are you doing with it? But I want to it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry about it. It's okay to feel disappointment. And I think that's a big part of it too. When we pass away, we'll be glorified, but till then we will probably feel disappointment for the rest of our lives. But it's just kind of why, and like reflect on it and feel it, and it's okay, but let's take those thoughts captive, right?
And let it move us to a different place. Let it move us to saying, God, I'm just going to cast all my cares on you. God, you're the only one who will never disappoint me. And and being in that rested place. Well, Becca, our time has come to an end, but as always, you're my go-to girl because I raised you.
You basically just get to talk to yourself, right? It's always a joy.
It is. But it's also a joy to see you walking with the Lord, growing in Him, and, you know, you are my sister in Christ. And that's a double blessing. So thanks again, dearie.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you.
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before.